Okay, we're here today at the Troy Area United Ministries in downtown Troy, and it's a Troy Tenant Town Hall, and I have a guest, and your name is?
David Banks.
And David, what is the name of the organization you represent?
I'm with the Democratic Socialists of America, in particular our Troy branch.
And what was the purpose of the Tenant Town Hall?
So within the Troy branch, we have a housing working group, and we've identified renters and tenants as a really important part of organizing in the city. Troy has is a majority renting city, and so it faces similar problems that, say, New York City does, in that we have a high proportion of people renting and that they are subject to the whims of their landlord. And if you have even just a couple of bad landlords, it can really take a big toll not only on property values and the quality of life of the city, but also the health, well-being of the citizens.
So based on the little work groups that broke out today, what were some of the major issues and concerns that were pointed out?
So there were a couple of important takeaways. One is that even if you aren't a renter, bad landlords should be a very big concern for you. It's no fun to be the neighbor to a property that isn't well taken care of, and if a bad property is making the lives of its tenants hell and making it really bad, then they're not particularly, they're not going to be on their best mood. They're not going to, they're less likely to be, conscious of the people around them because they're dealing with so much more than they need to. And so what we've found that is important is that we, one, create more protections for tenants, enforce the protections we already have, both at the state and city level, and then also think creatively about what new mechanisms, policies, institutions we can build to make Troy a better place for renters.
So some of the issues that I heard was, and suggestions was, and the most recent was there was a mention of land trusts.
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways that we can organized relationship to the land and property and shelter, right? And it's actually really only been since after World War II that the United States has been a majority purchasing with a mortgage and all in the nine yards sort of lifestyle. Prior to that, there were actually quite a wide range of ways that you could occupy land. And one that is seeing a resurgence that it is called a community land trust. And a community land trust, there have been many antecedents to it, were very different, but the modern land trust actually started in rural Albany, Georgia, a group of black folks that were getting tired of their landlords, and they built up what was called a community land trust. It still runs today. Probably the most well-known land trust, and the one that is the strongest, is the Dudley Street Neighborhood Initiative in Boston. And that land trust does two things really well. One, it provides affordable housing in perpetuity. And it does that through the second mechanism, which it separates the purchase of the property, like the land, from the edifice on top of it, the structure on top of it. So when you enter into an agreement with the CLT, with the land trust, they actually own the land. You do not own the land, and that's usually the case for most land trusts, is that you don't own the land, you actually lease the building on top of it. And it's a very long lease. It's like a 99-year lease. And what that that difference does is, one, it limits equity that you can build. So that's the one downside, is that you're not going to make more than the market. If you took the money that you put in to get this house from a land trust, you're not going to get the same sort of equity as if you put that same amount of money into, say, the stock market or something like that.
So the goal is more to stabilize housing instead of having a revolving door, and then it thus stabilizing a community.
Yes. Yeah. Most people that buy into a CLT say that they're they didn't buy a house, they bought a community. And the goal is to say, you know, no, you're not going to use your house as your main investment vehicle for, like, retirement or build equity or something like that. We're making sure that housing, first and foremost, has a use value of a good place to live, and that all of those housing units are a good neighborhood. And so you don't build as much equity, but the benefit from that is that you have a bunch of people that don't want to move, that they build a strong community, and that they're all living there affordably and happily.
So I understand in Troy they have a landlord registry, but there is no residential occupancy permit. So we were discussing what tenants can do when they go to building codes and something more proactive.
Yeah. Yeah. So we learned today that a lot of us learned that, you know, when you go to become a landlord in Troy, you have to register, and you register once and that's it for the rest of your life, which is less than the sort of registry that we use for dogs. Right. So, you know, and it costs less to, like, it costs less to be a landlord than to own a dog in Troy. And so that's obviously a problem. And so what we're going to do instead, or what we would like to see done instead, is create maybe like an annual licensure to be a landlord, and then also enforce what already exists in terms of code enforcement, maybe extending code enforcement into the home and in between tenants, instead of just like so it's a little bit more proactive, instead of like waiting for someone to call code enforcement, because there's a lot of good reasons why people would be reticent and hesitate to call code enforcement if you know, like, they've already been harassed by the police or something like that, and code enforcement is part of the police. So another big part and a big innovation that might be really important to get people to report more in code enforcement is to disconnect that department from the police department and have a more civilian-oriented code enforcement that cares more about making sure people are living in a healthy and happy place than punitive measures to the people that live on the property.
And then what about the issue of a tenant union, that discussion topic?
Yeah, so a tenant's union, typically we think of unions as something that you build at work. And if you build a union where you live, right, maybe in a building, everyone in one building becoming part of a union, or everyone in a city becoming one big union, is you develop a few things. One, you pool resources. So if you're having a problem, you can go to other people in your union, go to your rep in your union, and ask for advice. Just asking for advice can be huge. You can also ask for recommendations for, you know, people to fix things. If your landlord says, I can't find anyone to fix, you know, your faucet or your ceiling or something like that, you know, if you're part of a union, you can have a pool of, like, ready, good, vetted contractors to fix something. But then if stuff gets antagonistic and your landlord isn't doing something that you needed them to do, then the union becomes powerful in that you aren't alone in that struggle. And so it's one thing if you as one person say, like, oh no, I please, you know, give me back my security deposit. But if everyone in the city that's part of that union says, give me back my security deposit, that's a bit much bigger.
So in wrapping up, will there be a continuing meeting, and how could people join in and learn about what you folks are doing?
Yeah, so the Housing Working Group of the Democratic Socialists of America in Troy are holding another one of these meetings November 18th. That's a Monday at the Troy Public Library. You can just drop in. It starts at 6 p.m. and just come on in, and we'll be happy to have you.
Do you folks have a website?
Yes. Yeah. You can visit us on our website at capitaldistrictdsa.org. That's for our entire chapter, which includes Albany, Saratoga, and hopefully Schenectady and a couple other outlying counties.
And everybody is welcome to come to this meeting?
Everyone's welcome to come to that housing meeting and all DSA meetings.
Okay. And I want to thank David Banks from DSA. And this is Michelle signing off for the Upstate Housing Program. Thank you.